Welcome into One-on-One Weekend. I'm Josh White, son of Steve White. I'm here with Jim Flowers and Becky Mitchell of Agape House of Prescott. How are you guys?
Good.
There they are. We're here to talk about an amazing ministry that they have that many people may or may not have an understanding of what it is. So, Jim, give us a little idea of what Agape House of Prescott is and what you guys do.
Well, Josh, thank you. Agape House of Prescott is a local ministry. We're serving the Quad Cities area, which would be Chino Valley, Prescott, Prescott Valley, and Humboldt Dewey. And as a matter of fact, right now we have families in all those communities. What we do is we help families that have found themselves homeless because of a situation. These are people because of a situation, whether it be a spouse incarcerating, a lost job, or a divorce, and have found themselves out of their home. Typically, they're in campgrounds, parking lots.
Living with other family members.
We've got them out of backyards, garages. We had one mom living underneath a camper shell with children. So when the family finds themselves without a residence, that's when they call on us and we see if they fit in with our vision to help them get into a housing so that we can start that path to independence, which we'll be talking about more in just a few minutes.
Yes. So Becky, this sounds like something, and instead of just the person that's on the street corner that is holding the sign, this you're not directing your attention to that. You're directing your attention to
families. Our target population are families. There's a lot of homeless children and homeless students in the school districts. And so that's primarily where we start with. They call our organization, the homeless liaisons at those schools will call our organization and say, these children are without a place to stay. The problem we're seeing is that families are being split up. There is a man's shelter in town, and there is a place for women with young children to go in town. However, there is no place for a mother with teenagers to go, and there's no place for a father and children to go. So what we're seeing is that families are being split up, unfortunately. And if there was a crisis in life, separating families is not what we want to do. We want to keep them together. So that's who we are really searching for, is homeless families who need a place to stay and get back up on their feet.
What would set you guys different and set you apart from typical ministries that would shelter
Excellent
people?
Question, Josh. Excellent question. As Becky was just speaking, I wanted to make sure that we iterate the fact that we are not a shelter. Some people think we're a soup kitchen. Some think we're a dormitory. Each family gets their very own home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can hear my voice, you probably have passed one of our families today in your travels. We have them all over the Quad City area. They're in their homes. Could be a trailer. It could be a home. Could be an apartment. Majority of them are in apartments. We find a place that is tailored for their family's needs, the size and any special needs that they might have. And as they're in their own home, as Becky always says, that's when they start healing. That's when they start growing. And that's when they start developing life skills that will keep them independent and not dependent on society.
Wow. People provide shelters and provide food in other places. What's the main crux of what you do in terms of digging into their lives and figuring out what's going on?
We call it the pathway to independence. And at that pathway to independence, it really allows the families the time to overcome the hurdles that life has given to them. Everybody has hurdles in life, but the problem is it's a downward spiral. If somebody has a car issue, they lose a job, which means they lose childcare and they lose their house. So first we stop. We put them for 30 days, be stable. We provide the stability stage first, 30 days. During that time, we want them to focus on three things: eating, sleeping, and taking your medicines. Then we put them into the personal wellness phase. And during this time, this is a time where they can deal with inner issues, anxiety, fear, anger, depression. When somebody cannot look somebody else in the eye, that is really going to be challenging to keep a job. When anxiety and depression debilitate somebody and causes them to stay on the couch, that causes them to not be able to be an active parent, a successful employee, and involved in the education. So we really want to get that personal wellness. We take all of our families through a class. It's called Life Worth 101, teaching them the life skills of how to deal with life when problems hit you. Then the third phase is the life skills training phase. And during this phase, that's when we really teach the tangible items such as budgeting and job training and cooking and cleaning and organizational and time management. And the fourth phase then again is sustainability. And what we want to do is our goal is to put them out into society self-sufficient and independent.
Just giving them that self-worth of I see something in the future that's going to be positive instead of just this black hole of I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know where our next meals are going to come from.
That's
today,
correct.
A month from now, 3 months from now, you've given them now a vision of here's the future.
Yeah, our goal is independence. And that looks different for every single one of our families. However, they need to be independent. They can take care of themselves. They know how to talk to the community resources that are out there. They have now created a support circle for themselves. And we prefer for all of our families to be involved in the churches and in support groups outside of Agape House because we don't want them to be reliant on us also. Go out there and be self-sufficient. Take care of your own families.
One of the things in having discussions here is where this heart comes from for this ministry. Jim, this has become a passion for you guys. Tell me about where the heart of this came from and how this kind of this idea came about and what the core beliefs are of Agape House.
Josh, good question. We started in about 2010 at the results of a prayer walk at Prescott High School, which is about a mile from where we're sitting right now. And we had gone to the high school and asked permission to go onto their campus and pray as a large group of people. And of course, the high school said, please come pray for our students and our staff and our teachers. In that process, we asked what their prayer needs were. And of course, we heard teen pregnancy, drugs, those kind of things. But the one that caught our group by surprise was that year they had 58 students that were classified as homeless students. What that means is a homeless student is a student who doesn't sleep in their own bed, same bed, every night.
That's a much different definition than most people think of when they see
exactly,
homeless.
Yes. Exactly. And by the way, the families that we come alongside, they're homeless because of a situation that has created in their life, a loss of job, a loss of a spouse, sickness, and find themselves not being able to make the rent, and a loss of a job, not having income coming in. And so that's when we come alongside those families. It isn't families that decide they don't want to just have a house anymore and we'll just go live for free. These are families that work very, very hard. And they're in shame and they're embarrassed, but they are working hard to get back on their feet and become independent.
Perseverance, tenacity, that's what describes our families.
Yes.
And, right, Becky.
And how do you get to that? How do you get to figuring out the heart of an individual and their family and deciding, you know, this is the person that we really want to take on and push through.
Well, I'm going to let Becky talk about that in detail, but it takes a lot of prayer. Since we're faith-based, it takes a lot of prayer. We have a team that listens to these families, interviews them, accepts their application, and through discernment from the Holy Spirit, that's how the decision's made. But I'll let Becky walk through that step.
The two things that I really am looking for during an interview is hardworking individuals and honesty. I don't care what the problem was. I don't care what the mistake was. If you're honest about it, we can fix it.
Right.
When people try to hide it, that's not going to fix anything. So those are the two things we're really looking forward to. We look for goal-oriented individuals, people who have an idea. And we can definitely certainly help inspire those goals, and we can give options, and we can give encouragement. But that's part of the selection process. Unfortunately, the selection is very challenging. We get 20 phone calls a month saying people need help. And
yes, they do.
This is very sad. So we look to expand and help more families in the near future.
One of the things that struck me about the ministry that separates you from many of the other places that give assistance is your focus on Jesus.
Amen.
And your focus on Jesus to the individuals themselves, not just internally in the organization, but that you're very transparent with that, with the individuals. Talk about some of the ways in which you guys look to disciple individuals as they move forward.
Well, that's a good question and comment, Josh. Thank you. From day one, when they call and ask for assistance, we tell them we're faith-based, and we tell them they're going to hear about Jesus all along the way. 99% of them say, great, I want that. There's a few that say, click.
Right.
Our mentor, Vicky White, goes into the home each week, and she works on their goals and their budgets, all faith-based material, and she prays with them. And she goes to Bible verses and shows God's precepts on the proper way to think things through, the proper process of being on the path of independence. We dedicated this ministry to the Lord, and since then he has blessed us. He's been very faithful. We have a couple that are married, and they're our discipleship leaders. They lead a weekly Bible study in our office. The staff and volunteers attend. They go into our families' homes and ask for prayer needs, pray, encourage, help them select churches, multitude of things that sometimes a family doesn't even know where to begin. But all along that process, Josh, they're feeling the love of Jesus.
Right.
And that's what we want.
That's what you guys want.
The discipleship is unique for the individuals. And I'm going to give a couple of testimonies quickly. We find our families where they're at, and we pray with them. In the month of June last year, we were able to see 3 miracles occur in one lady's life immediately. And we challenged her to say, why don't you pray about it? And she prayed to her God about it, and 3 miracles happened in her life within 1 month. And that was phenomenal. Recently, we had one lady, we were in Life Worth 101 class together, and she said, you know what I really want? I just want a place for me and my children to stay. And I said, let's open up the Old Testament and look for the prayer of Jabez. No time in my life have I ever seen the prayer of Jabez work. She said, Lord, enlarge my territory. The God gave her a house.
Wow.
Man, that That's does not amazing. Happen usually. And then the last story I want to share is one of our families so down and depressed. My prayer for her continually is, and this goes for all of our families, however, this one in particular, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, the hope of Jesus is for the burdened and the saddened. That's really the answer key to life right there for this one mother. But really, I believe firmly that the Bible is the answer key to life. And I am not joking when people say, what's your business plan? And I pull out my big fat life application Bible and I say, This is the business plan.
This is God's economy in working
right in front of you.
It
certainly is. And it talks about parenting and it talks about relationships. And there's some ugly things in that Bible, but that speaks truth today too. And when our women come to us broken because they had a man and a woman relationship that was hard, we open up the Bible and we find those examples in the Bible. And then we lead them back to Christ and say, Christ loves you. You are valued. You are understood, and we love you. So Jesus is really the answer. So we feel very passionate about that.
Well, you are listening to One-on-One Sunday. I am Josh White, filling in for Steve White this week. One of the interesting things that struck me when we had our conversations earlier was it seemed like you and some individuals found the passion for what this is. Talk a little bit about that, but then I want to talk about how Becky got involved with it and kind of the amazing story of what her background was and why she was almost essential to what's the continued ministry here. So who and how did this begin in terms of ministry, and then how did Becky get involved?
Good question. Back in 2010, when we did that prayer walk at Prescott High School, we thought that those 58 students were probably in shelters, and we thought that was it. Well, someone investigated and found out those children are on the street. Those children are in campgrounds and in cars. We said, can't be. So as we investigated, we found out that there was no shelters for families at that time. And so we decided we needed to do something. When Becky came into our ministry in 2012, 13-ish, she told us that families aren't healing in shelters. With her experience with many years of in the homeless transitional housing
ministry,
Becky told us that families aren't healing in shelters. They can't heal in campgrounds. So we decided at that time we were going to form a nonprofit 501c3 faith-based organization ministry that would house these families so they can start that process of healing and becoming independent. And through the years, since 2013, Becky has been able to implement all faith-based budgeting, faith-based counseling, faith-based skills. Our mentor is in the home each week with faith-based skills that will keep this family from sliding back. And we all know that without Jesus in that picture, it's not going to work. As a matter of fact, I have a statement that I can't document, but I've heard it several times. The state of Arizona spends about $170,000 per year per homeless family. That's the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. Agape House spends about $12,000 a year per family, and we tell them about Jesus.
An efficient expenditure of the money and of your time.
We're giving hope, and we're solving the problem of homelessness. I'm so grateful for the brave co-founders who said, we need to do something. And when somebody says someone should and nobody does what anybody could do, I'm so grateful that those co-founders were brave enough to start the program.
It is.
For me, it started in 1992. I read the book Crossing the Switchblade by David Wilkinson.
Yes.
And I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I studied inner city ministry in the Midwest, traveled to lots of diverse organizations. I saw a lot of wonderful programs. What I saw lacking in many of them was business planning. And I said, I'm going to get my degree in business management and community development. Ministries thrive when they are organized well. So that's kind of my background. And I am so grateful for the years I was able to study in the Midwest and the wonderful organizations that are out there in Chicago, Indianapolis, Washington, D.C., New York City, Columbus, Cleveland. It just was a very special time of my life back then. And I'm grateful for David Wilkinson and his tremendous ministry that he has over decades now.
If you don't know, David Wilkinson headed up Teen Challenge.
Teen Challenge
mm-hmm. was his big ministry that he did that really goes out and ministers to teens. And challenges them in discipleship and in life.
Yep. And we get a lot of our discipleship from that. And our discipleship is unique to each family coming in. Just like I wouldn't preach at one person about having a lost sheep, and I would preach at somebody else about saving their money.
Right.
We have diverse discipleship for each unique person.
Everybody is unique and everybody has a different need.
Thank you.
One of the things that struck me was here you have a vision and an idea, Jim, of this ministry, and then how you got called specifically to help Agape House is very unique. So
yeah.
Tell a little bit about how you got just involved directly with it.
We have some mutual friends, and my brother-in-law, Pastor Scott Mitchell, was invited to be on the board, and he said, you might need to talk to my sister-in-law, Becky. And when I had moved to the town in probably 2005, and I saw the problem, but I didn't know where to go.
Right.
And when I met the co-founders, I was just overwhelmed and delighted. I'm so detail-oriented. To have Jim be the vision caster, and he sees this big picture person, but to me, very detail-oriented.
Right.
And there's a lot that goes into the program to get it up and running and to really be successful. So I'm very grateful for them, and I'm grateful for the wonderful church supporters that have come alongside us over the years. Very team-oriented, I'll say it like that.
It is. And when you see when you see God work, and you see here's a vision and here's somebody who was almost uniquely tailored in your education, in your passion, and in your skill set that you bring, that's only God that can work. Only God can bring those two things together, because many people can have a vision and many people can have a drive, but when you see the two come together, there's pretty amazing things that can happen.
Josh, we call it a puzzle.
Yes.
And we have 7 different teams of volunteers. There's no way that any one person could do any of those, but every person has a unique gift. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, use your gift for God. And that's what we really just say. Every person has a gift to use, and we need to use it. So I feel very grateful for the team that God has given to Agape House.
Becky's passion's amazing. She came and spoke with a group that I was a part of, and it just comes through, and it's a motivation to see people in light of the way God sees people, not in the way that the world sees people. So we want to move forward in what are some things that somebody can do that will benefit this ministry in the short term?
Josh, good question. Our vision is to help families through hope, love, and housing. As you know, housing is very expensive. And we have a call to action that we ask people to come alongside Agape House, partner with us, whether it's a volunteer or financial, to make a difference in these families that are in crisis right now in our community. So I think Becky can best explain that. She has a great gift of explaining the call to action.
There are three ways for an individual to get involved. They could A, be a monthly donor, B, one-time gift, or C, be a participate in the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. And I want to tell you about when 20 families, individuals, participate in the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit, 20 participants supports one family. And a lot of churches think, well, what can I do to solve the problem? And a lot of families think, well, what can I do to solve the problem? But if you donate that Arizona Charitable Tax Credit, 20 people can support one family and make a change forever. That is astronomical in the kingdom of God.
So we're with Jim Flowers and Becky Mitchell of Agape House, and we'll be back in a moment with more.
A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling? God sets the lonely in families. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. I had adopted my two grandchildren and found myself homeless. With no address to call home and couch hopping from night to night, I was running with no end in sight. When the Agape House stepped in and provided us with an address to call ours and training in life skills, I was able to overcome hurdles that have led to healing in our family and cleaning up my credit score. My cup runneth over in gratitude to all that the Agape House has done.
Well, you're back with One-on-One Sunday here on Arizona Shine. We're with Jim Flowers and Becky Mitchell, and you just heard a story from Agape House of an individual, and I'd like Jim to kind of elaborate a little bit on what we just heard from the story that in that segment.
Thanks, Josh. That mom, we're especially proud of. She came to us with many difficulties. She had just retired from her job, developed her retirement income, and was slipping into comfy retirement life when she found out that her children had abandoned their children. And she said, that can't be. So she adopted her two young children. A grandmother has adopted her two grandkids and is now the mother and is the breadwinner and the homemaker for these two children. When she came to us, she had a lot of difficulties. She had never been on a real strict budget. She had never been told that she had to watch her spending. She had never really trusted in the Lord for meeting all of her needs. But her goal when she came to us was, I want my own house. The day that she applied from us, she was living in her nephew's backyard. So today, she has her own home. She lives out in the Humboldt area, and she is attending church regularly, and that she has making a positive life, a Christ-centered life for her two children. And how we look at that, Josh, is we didn't work with one family there. We worked with three families.
Yes.
Because those young little kids saw mom's bad decisions, and now she sees mom's godly decisions and what has changed. So we look at it, that's three families that are being healed and developed and walking down the path of independence.
Yes.
As an overcomer, we want to give credit to 1 John 5:4 and John 16:33. It talks about being an overcomer. And this lady, she will give credit to God for his faithfulness. And she told me so many times, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God is faithful. So, and she uses that word all the time, faithfully, to encourage other people. God is faithful, and you walk with him and he'll walk with you.
He will. One of the things that we also discussed was what the future brings, not just to the mom or the dad, but what are you setting up in terms of for the children that are there? Talk a little bit about what you've seen happen in some of these children's lives that have been with the families.
I'll talk about one family in particular. She has several elementary children and then extended family. Not only did she make a light for herself, her light shines so bright for Jesus, and she's making good choices and brave choices. It has influenced the grandparents, the aunts, and the uncles, and I just am beaming with pride over this lady and what she has overcome. It has exponentially changed the community and her family and the extended family and the lives that she touches around her. We're so proud of her.
Right. Mm-hmm. You told a story of it. Go ahead. You were going to talk about the kids that had, they were flunking. They were failing classes, right?
We've seen this. We've actually seen this twice now.
Which is?
The children were in the bottom of their class average, flunking school. We have two children that we know that's been documented, and we suspect a lot more, but there's two that have gone from the bottom of the class to straight A students. When they tell you that doing homework in my own bedroom is much better than the back seat of the car, you know you're making a change. Yeah. You know you're making a difference.
Really,
and that's where the home comes in, and that's where Jesus comes in, because the two of those together can really bring healing and safety in a family, and a desire to sit around the dinner table and talk, and mom making dinner. You know, Josh, we had one mom who came to us, young mom, she had a little baby, never ever has set up a household. So our senior moms came in and showed her where to put the peanut butter in the pantry and where to put the pots and pans and all those things. When you see that happen, it just, you know that the family is healing. You know that that mom is developing hope and sharing that with her family. So the children are affected the most, and that's where we see the best results. And again, it's all because of Jesus is in the center of it.
Well, and there's all of a sudden now there's hope for the future.
There is hope.
I mean, and I think when people struggle and they have children, that burden is doubled onto that child. The child
Correct.
Can sense that. The child can see that, and that hopelessness affects everything in their life.
It's true. Homelessness is not just not having a home, but it's not having a place to do life. It's not having a place to put your things. So this is a conversation I have had several times. A homeless family, they drop their kids off at school, they pick them up, they're roaming around for a couple hours, and then they sleep. But when they're roaming around, oftentimes they find themselves in the library doing their homework or at a fast food restaurant because it's enclosed. There's not rain there. There's not heat there. So they can do this. But now if you're trying to study for a history test inside a noisy restaurant, that's challenging. That brings a whole nother set of challenges. We see a lot of homeless families bouncing from school to school. We've seen some. One of our families had the elementary children had gone to 7 different schools. That is not a good reading education. That is not good math skills, because those children are getting used to the classroom. And then just as they're used to the classroom, they start learning how to read, and then they're pulled up and moved again. And they lose those skills. And when homelessness affects multiple educational environments, that really affects the future. So we need to stop, put them in one home, put them in one school, get a little bit of foundation for them. And then when they can go to one school and have a future, coming out with a high school diploma is often not valued per se, but in the homeless situations, when you get that high school diploma, you have now earned yourself a livable wage. You've earned yourself the ability to go and get a job. Praise the Lord for free enterprise that we get to work in America.
Yes.
And that's really important that they have those high school diplomas.
It is. You had a story of a woman who was graduating or getting her degree. How did you guys assist with her getting her degree and her then moving out and doing things on her own?
Yeah, that's a great story, testimony. We typically see a family between 9 and 11 months. Our bylaws say up to 2 years. We had a mom who really had some ambitious goals, getting her degree, having her own home, those kind of things that we all desire. So we told her, if you continue to be successful in those goals, we'll go with you the distance. So at about the two-year mark, we evaluated her, and she said, I only got a little bit farther to go, and I'll get my teaching degree. So we went with her the whole entire way. That mom now has a degree. teaching certificate. She can now has her own home with her family. And the goals are the most important thing that they have to set. And we put them on a budget. It's a faith-based budget. We typically start working on their credit. They all come with damaged, bad credit. And we start getting them on the path to become credit-wise and spending-wise. And Josh, I want to tell you something. We have some moms that come to us, and they have a boatload of debt. They owe the hospital. They owe the last place they live. They owe on their car. They owe. And we say, call them and ask them how you can pay them back. And they say, well, they never even talk to me anymore. They don't want their money back. We say, in God's economy, you have no debt. Call them. We don't care if you pay $5 a month. Call them. And when they're embarrassed and they set up a payment program to these people they owe money to, they are so embarrassed. Soon you'll start to see them put their hands on their hips and stand proud. That's when the hope and the dignity starts coming.
Yeah.
When you're paying back your debt that you owe. And it may not be much or maybe a lot. But when they start paying back their debt and they understand God's precept, they develop hope. They develop dignity. And again, they're modeling for those children to see what is the proper precept in God's word.
We ask our families to put 30% of their income into the savings account. And the reason we do that is after 6 months of time, hopefully they now have enough for our first and last month's rent. It's going to cover emergency costs. And a lot of them are hesitant about that at first, begrudgingly. But at the end, I tell you what, each time, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I had $500 when my transmission blew, I could have it. I'm so glad I could take my kids to the doctors. When you don't plan, that's when the money's not there. And that's a problem. So we really encourage savings.
It's amazing that the financial planning portion, that's the most difficult thing for almost anybody really to grasp in their head. And when someone does, what it does for their mind and their soul. And when they can provide and they see tangible evidence of it working, when they pay that first bill, I can't imagine what it would feel like for them to pay that first bill.
They're proud of themselves
off.└
In a good way.
Oh, in a great way. And that just, and it's all of a sudden the hope moves forward and then they reach the next step in their life. What's that moment like when a family comes in and they're challenged with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
You present a possible solution that they think is kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it typically take, and what happens during that moment when you see the light turn on and they start getting it?
You know, that's just the best moment there is we work with these families and they're working hard. We said it before, perseverance and tenacity goes into these families. They're working hard. The volunteers are working hard. Everybody at Agape House. And it's hard work. But when they get it, it's so worth it. Last year, we were able to put a family in a home just before Christmas. Literally, she got a home for Christmas. The community of Prescott was phenomenal. We made a call out. We said, we got a house. We need furniture. Every piece of furniture came in within 7 days.
Oh, that's amazing.
Money came in to pay the first bills. I mean, a home for Christmas, how special is that? And yes, we feel irritated with it sometimes. You know, you might miss your favorite TV show, but I tell you what, nothing on this earth is more special than seeing somebody walk into eternity for the first time, to seeing a little child grateful for a bed to sleep in. We had one little boy, this bed had airplanes on it. A wonderful grandmother handmade a blanket with an airplane on it. This little boy said, can you believe how good God is? He loves me so much.
That's so awesome.
Not only did I get a bed, but I got it with airplanes. And it's all worth it. I would give up so much to do this, to walk with these families.
These are the moments that you really see what, you know, God says, the least last will be the first and the first will be last.
Oh, the least of these all the time. We get to work with them, and then they have inherited the kingdom of God. They are rich beyond measure.
Rich beyond measure. What, you know, when we see this in eternity and the difference between what we see in the world as success and what God sees as success.
Mm-hmm.
God's successes are something otherworldly. And I don't even, you know, and we can celebrate them here, but we're not even going to really understand the impact of that until we're all said
Amen.
And done.
Yeah. We have one volunteer, and she always says, you know, success means something completely different for so many people.
It does. It really does. We're here with Jim Flowers and Becky Mitchell on 101 Sunday here on Arizona Shine. One of the things that we can talk about here is how are you moving forward? What's some of the future goals that you have? What have you already established, and what's the future of the ministry in the Prescott area?
Well, Josh, good question. We have a really ambitious 2020 coming up. We are planning on a property that we will be purchasing. It'll be 9 homes. As you know, 9 homes is a very expensive adventure. So we're looking at taking on twice the number of families that we've ever done in 2020. So that requires volunteers, that requires prayer, that requires a lot of people coming together to make that happen. We have a thing we call to action, and there's quite a few things on there to come alongside Agape House and be a part of our ministry. The very first one is what I just said, and that's prayer. We need your prayer. Uh-huh. Our families need your prayer.
They do.
Sometimes we feel like we're pushing a boulder up a hill. But when we get it on top of that hill and see it roll away, it's just like, praise God.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a part of that, pray. Pray for us. Mm-hmm. The second call to action, and I'm probably going to turn it over to Becky because she can say it better than I can, but the second call to action is financial. As I said, it's very expensive to house families, and we spare no expense. We're very frugal with what we are given. All of our money comes from kind donors in the sound of my voice. We have many corporate sponsors, we have many churches, and we have many private individuals that come along and support us financially. So I'm going to turn it over to Becky and let Becky explain some ways that you can be a financial partner.
There is a big financial burden. However, when we divide it up, we want to adopt each unit. We have 9 apartments that need to be adopted. We need 1 church to adopt an apartment, a business, a corporate sponsor, and then 20 participants in the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. When those 3 things have been accomplished, we can support another family. So it feels like a big bite at first, but when we break it down, we all can do something. And that's just really what I ask. We ask if you have a gift. We had somebody who said, you know what, I'm going to donate your flooring. I'm going to donate painting. Fantastic. That's a little more that we can provide for families in crisis.
People can pray. People can give. But also people can give of their time.
Their time, their volunteers.
And the mm-hmm. volunteers that are needed. What kind of volunteers do you need? What kind of activities could people maybe bring to you?
The first 2 teams I'd like to talk about are the residential care teams and the neighborhood teams. The neighborhood teams are people who donate tangible goods. You know, we have somebody who donates a basket of blessing. We have people who donate linens, mattresses. We have people who donate their time and their services. Accounting, dentists, mechanics. We need a dentist to say, I'll take care of 1 or 2 mounts every year. We need a mechanic. I'll take care of 1 or 2 cars every year. Transportation is a challenge for often single moms. And the other thing is the resident care teams. The resident care teams come in and they teach Bible studies. They teach life skills classes. They're talking about the heart of the matter of our residents. And it's a limited group, it's special. But those are the ones who are investing into the lives of our families. And then we also have a stewardship team. And we say we don't raise money, we support families.
Right.
And it takes a team to support these families.
How would somebody get in touch with you to say, hey, I either want to volunteer or I want to give? What's a way in which that they can contact you?
agapehouseprescott.org.
And be able to email through email and then phone number to call on there and so forth, and can actually get in touch with you and figure out how they can be a part of this ministry in small ways, big ways, medium ways, mm-hmm. and all the things that go through.
We have a volunteer orientation every couple of months, and if somebody would like to call and volunteer, they're welcome to come to those orientations. You would need to RSVP at 928-910-1089. That's our phone number, to volunteer. So you can donate online. You can donate through a check. We also are looking for business sponsors and corporate sponsors. We need one business for each home, and we need one church for each home. We do have several, and we are very grateful, but we are in need of a couple of more.
Right. God's need is there, and his people will provide, and that's what they're asking for. We'll end with this. One of the things that happens that we were talking when we, as we were talking was the intangible things that happen out of exercising this ministry. So people give to the people. You have tenants in rooms. What's some things that happens in, that grow outside of the, so you go in and you provide these needs. What's the example that's set for people that are out there that they have to see Jesus for the first time?
We get all of our families into the community.
Yes.
Yeah. They go out and now they have friends. They're not alone. And anybody who's hearing my voice today, who knows somebody who's homeless, who is a grandparent struggling, please know there is hope. People in this community want to care for you. They want to help you. Jesus is faithful. He is there. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, the hope of Jesus is there for those who are saddened and burdened. And I think that is, once they taste the hope, once they get it, once they get on the pathway to independence, they can do it, and you can do it.
Some of the most tangible ways people see God is through service. That's
love
and service.
It's
one thing to get up and preach. It's another thing to do it by action.
Yeah, when your hands get dirty, that's really, what is the call to St. Francis of Assisi? Preach all the time, and if necessary, use words. We definitely are hands on everything. Give them food, give them a shelter. That's what we do first. And then we tell them about the hope and the love. And they say, are you serious? I mean, who knew that a little boy would experience God for the first time because a lady made a blanket with an airplane on it? And the stories are endless.
Right. That's some of the most simple acts. Don't just help the person that you're trying to love, but they grow your own faith.
They do.
They grow your own relationship with God and cause you to even look to greater acts of service and greater acts of love out in our community. And that's where Jesus is seen. Jesus is seen. The light of Jesus is seen when his love is shown through service.
Amen. Amen, Josh. We're very blessed. We have a fine staff. Becky and Vicky are both in the office daily. Vicky is our family mentor. In the real world, they're called the
Case manager,
but she goes into the home each week and just loves on these moms and families and prays and shares the Bible with them. We have a great pool of volunteers. Oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming, and the volunteers that come in and help. And Becky referred to a puzzle earlier. We call it the puzzle piece. If you remember, you know, the little jigsaw piece only fits in one little spot in the puzzle. Well, that's where our volunteers are. They come in with these gifts that we thought, we need somebody who can do this. And lo and behold, the phone will ring or they'll walk through the door and say, can I do this or that? And we just got to say praise God for that puzzle piece.
Yes.
I encourage all of our listeners today to like us on Facebook. Follow those stories on Facebook. You can get the sign up for the newsletter. It can be delivered to your home through postal mail. It can be emailed to you. Those are the stories that really change lives. And as you learn more about what's going on, you'll know the Lord will call you and he'll put a burden on your heart. There's something you can give. You can give of your time. You can give of your money. You can give of your talents.
We ask that you pray. Mm-hmm. That you give and that you serve. That's the call to all of us at all times, and this is a great ministry to do that. You've been listening to One-on-One Sunday here on Arizona Shine. Thank you.